The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Tonight, and it is Friday night, March the 18th, 2016, and you know what it is on Friday night. We talk all things Black Butter Love. It's the Black Butter Love Show here at the latest place on Black Talk Radio Network. And tonight we are talking about, are you lonely when your mate is around? Now that's a strange statement, a strange question rather to ask. But what makes me think of that is this Jill Scott song entitled When You're Around. And in that song she's speaking about how being with her mate she still feels lonely. And so now this question was actually asked by a listener who basically asked, is it possible to still be in a relationship but feel like you're alone? So apparently some people must experience these types of relationships, whereas you're with someone but you still feel lonely. You still feel like something is missing. I don't think I've ever been in a relationship like that, but I can certainly imagine something like this. So we want to hear from you. Does your mate make you feel lonely whenever they're around? Something missing? That spark, that fire is just not there, or the fun maybe that you used to have or thought you may have. So, we want to talk about that. And how can we make that better? How can we improve upon that? Do you have the comfort of a relationship that it should give you? So we want to hear. Let's talk about it. And how can you communicate your feelings better to a person to help them understand that? And maybe how can they communicate to you what's going on? So we want to hear from you. So the way to do that is you call in to 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press pound. So 641 is the number. Let me let you get your little pen and paper. 641-715-3660. 641-077. Press pound. Call. And if you would like to share a thought or comment, press star 61. So we want to hear from you. In the meantime, I have been trying to catch up with the Flint hearings. So my hot news topic for tonight is the Flint hearings. In listening to the so-called testimony of these government officials, such as this Hedgman lady Hedgman is with, I believe, MDQ, and this other woman, oh gosh, let me get her name, I had their names all together, over the EPA. Now, the EPA has been having so many issues with, like, retaliation, sexual harassment. This is supposed to be some green peace. We want to make sure everything is clean and healthy. The water is clean for people. The land is not being polluted. And they're just as polluted as ever. So, they gave testimony today, Thursday and Wednesday, testimony was given by Governor Snyder, Darnell Early, Susan Hedgman of the EPA, and let me get this woman's name from MDEQ, who she resigned. Well, I think she was with the EPA also because she wasn't forced to resign. Let me just get the details up on that. But in the meantime, I would like to play this clip, and we will be right back. And we will jump into our topic, so don't you go anywhere. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We begin today on Capitol Hill, where emotions ran high during the latest congressional committee hearing over the Flint water crisis. This is now the third congressional hearing over the case of lead water contamination in Flint, Michigan. Members of Congress today listened to high-profile testimonies from both Gina McCarthy, head of the Environmental Protection Agency, and Rick Snyder, governor of the state of Michigan. Joining me now live from the Capitol is RT correspondent Manuel Ropolo with the details. Manny, this is the third hearing now in Flint, as I said. Is this committee making any new findings?
Well, unfortunately, Anya, we're seeing the same sort of finger pointing that we witnessed over the course of the last couple of hearings. You know, despite the fact that this is a case where members of Congress are looking to find accountability for what is, you know, without a doubt, a tragedy, there's a tremendous amount of partisanship that took place at this hearing earlier today. Republicans on the committee almost tunnel vision in their attempt to shift the bulk of the blame over to the EPA. At one point, Florida Congressman John Mika called on Gina McCarthy, who's the head of the EPA, to be fired. And then on the other hand, you have committee Democrats who are, for example, Elijah Cummings, he's the ranking member who is defending the EPA, saying that that the bulk of the blame should fall on the state of Michigan, specifically pointing to the office of Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. I want to play you that short clip from that exchange. Take a listen.
Governor Snyder has been described as running the state of Michigan like a business. Well, what if this was a business? What if a CEO ran a company that sold toys laced with lead that children put in their mouths? What if those children were poisoned as a result? There's no doubt in my mind that if a corporate CEO did what Governor Snyder's administration has done, he would be hauled up on criminal charges.
Now, to be fair here, Anya, Governor Snyder did say himself that he shares in the blame here. I want to play you what he said in response to those comments. Take a listen.
We've uncovered systematic failures at the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. The fact is, bureaucrats created a culture that valued technical competence over common sense. And the result was lead was leaching into the residents' water. We're taking responsibility in Michigan, and we're taking action. And that's absolutely essential here in Washington, too. Inefficient, ineffective, and unaccountable bureaucrats at the EPA allowed this disaster to continue unnecessarily.
So, Anya, as you can see, is still a lot of finger-pointing going on. It really seems as though it's going to be a long time before we know what the final outcome will be in the case of the Flint water contamination. Anya?
That testimony from Governor Snyder was highly anticipated. There was a higher than usual attendance at this hearing today, including many people from Flint. What has their reaction been to these hearings?
That's right, Anya. There was actually buses full of people from Flint, residents of Flint, family members that were victims of that contaminated water. You know, the one thing that's been a constant at these hearings, throughout the course of all of these hearings, is the high tension, the emotion, and at times even outrage from people in attendance over the testimony that they're hearing. A lot of frustration over how long it really has taken for any action to be done in regard to this water contamination. But there's also a lot of hope from the folks that we've talked to here today that these hearings will lay a foundation for the much needed change in the community of Flint. We have to remember that aside from this water contamination crisis, Flint is a community that's plagued with high levels of poverty, high levels of unemployment. Flint isn't unique in that regard in the United States, but it is a community that's very much in need. Anya?
Many, I understand that aside from work being done in Michigan, there is legislation being introduced related to the crisis in Flint nationally. What can you tell us about this?
Yes, there is legislation being introduced by 31 members of Congress. It's called the Emergency Financial Manager Reform Act of 2016. Now, this is a bill being introduced that basically takes the lessons learned from Flint and applies it to other situations, other communities and cities across the United States that could be faced with a similar crisis. Now, earlier today, after that hearing, I caught up with Michigan Congressman John Conyers. He's one of the members that's introducing this legislation, to talk to him about just that. Take a listen.
This is still getting out to the nation. There are communities other than Flint that are in this same precarious situation. So we don't want to act like we've just done this one where tragedy has struck already. There is lead and other contaminants in our water supplies that are now being examined for the very first time.
So as you can see, Anya, very busy day here on Capitol Hill. But if there is one silver lining from all of this, is that the issue of water safety is finally being looked at a national level in a greater way. Anya?
Because we know this.
And I just find it quite interesting that Governor Snyder, in speaking or so-called testifying for the congressional hearings after they had pretty much probably drag him in by his coattail and ear, force this man to come in and finally testify after he's been able to posse up on lawyers and counsel with the crisis manager and come up with the story. And so he walks into the courtroom, he and Donnell Early and these EPA people. By the way, this Jim McCarthy, the EPA chief, she was appointed by President Obama in 2009, I believe it is. So her position was an appointed position. If I'm not mistaken, it seemed like Obama was really pressing for funding for EPA so that they could be more efficient with their responsibilities in terms of the environment and the water when he was campaigning. Or either during his first like couple of years in the White House. If I'm not mistaken, I have to go back and review that. And now all of this has just come out with this EPA, all of the sadistic behavior and completely ignoring the cries and pleas of these people. And let's not forget the Health and Human Service Department also. The Health and Human Service Department, the state, and federal never did come in. They too overlooked Flint and did not want to commit the resources to Flint. Governor Snyder didn't even want to come out and visit those people. So anyway,
Sister Rose,
story in Flint, and yes,
I looked up some of that information that you had asked for. The thing that I could find was in 2011, the New York Times published an article that said EPA budget proposals focuses on air and climate rules, cuts water grants. Okay, and this proposal, which was $1 billion less than the previous budget or fiscal year, and it was requested by the Obama administration. This man, from the EPA to the SNAP program to a whole bunch of stuff, has done nothing but keep cutting and cutting and cutting along with the Republicans. And I was sitting there asking myself as I was listening to that clip that you shared, and thank you, because you've been one of the few people that have really been focused on this. You and Sister Zion of Shifting Paradigms, you two have on the Black Talk Radio Network have really been providing an important service on this particular issue. So I want to thank you for that. I was listening to the clip you played about Elijah Cummings. I'm like, why is he making excuses for the federal EPA, because they're supposed to be the last line of defense, you know, for when the states aren't doing their jobs. And you probably know better than me, but I would think that the lady who blew the whistle, or the number of people who blew the whistle, I'm not sure who all it was, but I'm willing to bet you that they not only notified or sent messages to the state EPA, but they probably sent it to the federal EPA as well. But I'm looking at a lot. Yes, the ultimate blame does belong with Governor Snyder and then his emergency manager, who I watched his testimony on a video clip today. And yes, the blame ultimately belongs to them. But we're supposed, that's why the federal EPA exists, is for when these sort of things, these failures happen on the local or the state level. So I want to know why Elijah Cummings is trying to defend, you know, the federal EPA. And then this too, and I you know, would love to hear your comments on this. Why hasn't Attorney Loretta Lynch opened up an investigation, sought an indictment, and prosecuting them for this criminal act? Because, like, Judge, what was his name? He's from Detroit, used to have the show. I don't know if he's still on air. You know who I'm talking about, the black judge?
Greg. Yeah, Judge Mathis, right?
Yeah, Greg Mathis. And he rightly stated that this was a terrorist attack, that the Homeland Security had been sending out warnings about people poisoning the water supply as a terrorist attack. This was a deliberate attack. If it wasn't deliberate, it was criminal neglect or criminal mischief. I'm sure they could come up with some creative ways to prosecute this, but this was a crime. So I want to know, where's the federal government? Why aren't they prosecuting these people? And have you heard if the Justice Department has even opened up an investigation for possible criminal violations? That's all I had. But thank you again for your continued coverage of this issue.
Thank you. Thank you so much also for allowing us to share this information. And in response to your question, no, I have not heard of the federal government opening up an investigation in terms of the criminality of this this whole water changing over that caused the deaths of people. These people I watched this video on YouTube, and some of the people in Flint, they were showing like how their teeth are falling out, skin peeling, these different like stab-like wounds in their back, with like knife wounds in their back. So imagine what's happening with the children. But what you're saying, Scott, is what most of the people in Flint are saying. He needs to not only resign, he needs to be arrested. Overwhelmingly, the people are saying he needs to be indicted and charged, and he needs to serve time. It makes no sense for them to sit here and play the same line, run the same line. Oh, it never should have happened. Well, hell, slavery never should have happened, but it did. So I feel like all of them need to be investigated, from him, Gina McCarthy, chief of the EPA, especially that little bitch Susan Hedgeman, because she retaliated. Her office, directly under her, they did retaliate against that young man, Toro, he's a whistleblower. And now all of them want to try to say, oh, yes, oh, yes. Same as with Dr. Edwards. Same as with Dr. Anna Atish, the pediatrician. They castigated those people initially. And furthermore, it doesn't take any testing of the water when the water's coming out looking like it looked. They knew it had lead. They knew the water was contaminated with lead. They knew it was contaminated with E. coli. The people keep telling you this. They come to town hall meetings with bottles of water. So don't say you just found out. So that in and of itself does not take anyone, not even the first class of law school, to be able to go and prosecute that. So what some people have been saying, Scotty, is that the Justice Department is unwilling or have been dragging their feet in terms of even speaking, to even pacify some of us, even speaking about bringing charges against this man. Is it possible for a citizen arrest to take place in order to have this man indicted? Because it is criminal. It is very criminal because you have a portion of town that was forced to drink lead water. And then not only that, add insult to injury, then you want to make them pay for it even after it's been determined that lead is in the water. And the reason why Flint has some of the highest, not only were they, this is so sad, and then we're going to get into our topic, but not only were they paying for poisoned water, Flint paid some of the highest water bills in the country. So you're paying for lead and poop water, and then you're paying a high dollar price for it. Now, if that isn't insidious, then tell me what is. So, I would like to...
One more question.
Sure. What do you have?
Has President Obama visited Flint yet?
Not that I know of, neither has he, and I believe Governor Snyder has not, as of yet, visited Flint either. Even though people have been requesting for him to come and visit, President Obama as well as Governor Snyder, to my knowledge, neither one of them have come to Flint.
He has not either, but I know he went to a Detroit car show.
Yes, and people were asking for him to come to Flint when he came to Detroit because he could have had the Secret Service just run him right up the road. Now, I don't know, maybe he made a secret trip, but I would think that you would want the public to know that you care enough to go see about these people in Flint. I mean, everybody named Mama, even Russell Simmons went and delivered water in Flint.
So, if he went, we would know about it. Believe me, people would be talking.
So, I wish that he would go over there. I wish that he and Michelle and those girls would go over there and at least say to the people of Flint, we hear your cries and I'm going to take my executive little pen and get some more money in here and build an industry here so that you people can be able to take care of yourselves. But, Scotty, sometimes I wonder, do they really want the land? And do they want to remove these people? Is this just another Katrina? Another form of Katrina, still in the water form, washing away people. Is this another Katrina, though? Let's welcome in Icy Hot. How are you?
Awesome. Just great.
Yeah.
Thank you for all that great information. I've been waiting for it. And thank you for the link that you sent us from C-SPAN.
Oh, yes, indeed. I still haven't finished watching day one, but I'll pick back up on day one. But Scotty and I were just sharing information in regards to the Flint hearings and any findings and Governor Snyder's testimony. And, oh, my God, and Darnell Early, he is just one defiant, arrogant man. He's just like, whatever. Do not bother me with these petty questions. Why are you asking me this? I told you this. Oh, my goodness. He's amazing. He's a piece of work.
Yeah, we would have known that, even for the simple fact that he would take that kind of task and job on. Mm. You got to know what kind of person you're dealing with there.
Dealing with somebody that, what they say, eat their own children. They eat their babies.
Mm-hmm.
He seems pretty,
cold. Well, their grandmama down the tube like Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Their mama.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Well, we're talking about our Black Butter Love show tonight. Do you feel lonely when he's around? Have you ever heard of anybody being in a relationship icy hot, but they still feel lonely? They still feel like something's missing? Like maybe you're in a relationship with somebody, but they don't talk to you. They don't touch you and set your soul on fire. And maybe there's just no excitement or whatever it is, no hand-holding, no kissing, no dates, no romance. Well, I hate to say romance. No, love and no caressing. Nothing, something's missing. It may not even be just that. Maybe it could just be the emotional connection that's missing. It's just like something's not clicking. It's just not there. Maybe it was there. Maybe you wished that it could be there and it never came, or you thought it was going to come, or he stopped, she stopped, or something. Let me bring Delta in, because Delta can speak on this for us, because you mentioned a friend that you have, or was it a letter that someone sent in to you about being lonely in a relationship? Delta Cougar. Welcome in, Delta.
Hello. How everybody doing? Hi, Icy. Hi. It's Canty on. Hi to Canty, Sarah, everybody.
No, well, Canty and Sarah haven't made it on yet. I think Canty's traveling right now.
No, Canty called me and told me he was calling in.
Okay. Well,
he sure did. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. Yes, that was a question that was put to me in a lady, and we was talking about it, and she was telling me that she was in a relationship with her husband, and she was saying that she was not happy. She said they just lived together, and she was not happy. And she said she here, but she just not happy. And she said they just live together, and she don't know what to do. And that's the question. And so, I told her it's so common. You have a lot of people. A lot of people may not admit it, but you have a lot of couples live together, and they not happy. They just go through the motion and they live together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's common. And then when you in the relationship, you got the men don't know how to, half of them don't know how to open up. They don't know how to express themselves. They don't know what to do. And they don't know how to show affectionate. You know, and it could be the woman too. Could be the woman too, you know.
But do you think that it's because maybe people have been in relationships where affection was not something that was, showing affection was not common, like hugging your child or telling your child I love you? Maybe they didn't experience that. Could that be a reason why, I wonder? Or it seemed like, because you could go either way. You could say, well, I never received that, so I want to give it. I want to give more of it. And maybe it's just common, or maybe it feels awkward if a person does, because they didn't grow up in a household like that.
No, you know, I don't think so, because a lot of times people can grow apart.
Now, that's another way to look at it. So they just grow
apart.
See,
people have grown apart. And that's it's not that they weren't taught to give affection. It's a difference in a relationship and giving affection. If you was in a relationship before that, and you and your spouse or you and your boyfriend was very affectionate, and you ever hear people say, we don't grow apart, we just have grown apart. It's nothing there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Just grow apart from each other.
And so this is what done happened to a lot of people.
So, and I think that's how when people grow apart from each other, or maybe, I don't know, maybe a person just changes. It could be, I guess, I don't know, maybe your lifestyle changes or something, or what is it, like you
I honestly don't know. Only thing I can say is I hear people say a lot of times, and I have heard people say this, And a lot of times you don't understand it, but I guess the older you get, you understand it. People say we just don't grow apart. You ever hear people say that? And a lot of times you would say, I don't truly understand what that means. If you saying you don't grow apart, but as you get older, you understand. Wisdom.
Well, let's take a break. Let's take a break, and then we'll come right back and pick back up on that.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back. And so, let's see, Delta, do you want to go into some of your hot topics quickly, and then we'll pick back up on our topic for tonight?
Yes, I have some great hot topics. I have a hot topic in Detroit, Michigan, where these two young ladies, they in their 20s, they 23 and 24, they was you know how a boy quit one girl and go take up with another girl. And this is what happened. These two girls had an argument and in a fight, I guess they really said an argument. So the other girl came back. She told the girl, you wait, I'll be back. The young lady that was 23 years old came back to the other lady's house. Young lady house, because they both was about that age. She shot up inside of the house and shot a 7-year-old and killed the 7-year-old.
Then she turned around
and she shot a 8-year-old, and the 8-year-old is in critical condition. And this is sad for young folks and they people, our people, I put it like that, our people. Fighting over a man, and this young lady already had 4 kids. She had 3 girls and three boys and 1 girl, so her only girl got killed. And this is what happened. Over a man, and she already got a house full of children. Now she done lost one of her daughters and lost one of, the cousin child is still living. But that 8-year-old is in critical condition, but the 7-year-old died fighting over a man, and she's 23 years old. Now her life is ruined because in Saginaw, Michigan, when you kill somebody like that, you're going to get life. When they say life, they mean life. They just like Angola. You do not leave unless you leave out in a box, unless you get a pardon. And then we have another story, and this one was up in, South Carolina, where a man came home, and his girlfriend's son, they said his stepson, was in the room, in the bed, sleeping. And he saw his stepson in the room hugged up with another man, another young man. And the man went in there and boiled some hot, hot water, very, very hot water. And he went in there while the two men were sleeping and threw the hot water on both of the men. And the two men got third and fourth-degree burns all over their body because he said he wasn't going to have that going on in his house. And now they're trying to charge him with first-degree assault, you know, like a very, very serious charge, like a murder charge.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. And so it was his stepson.
That was his stepson, and he was with another man in the bed, and he came in and caught them. And he boiled his water, and he threw it on him. And my papa said he sure threw it on him. And then we have one more, and this is it. I'm gonna give you an uplifting one.
Oh,
years
wow.
ago, this little young black boy, I can't remember his name, and don't kill me, y'all, but he was out of Chicago, and he wanted to make some money. And the young boy was very poor. He was an only child. But his mother taught him that he had to save money. So the young man began to go around and pick up rocks. And he would find rocks with funny different types of shapes. And he'd paint these rocks. And when he paint these rocks, he would turn around and he would go around and sell them for book holders. And today, that young man was a millionaire at the age of 14 years old. Now he have written all type of books, and now he's a multimillionaire. And then one more hot tip, and this gonna be it in a minute. Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, you know, they have burst into a major contract in 2012 to bring their two moguls ideas together. So Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey is in a bad falling out right now. Yeah, it's been all over the news, all over Facebook, everywhere. And now they're in a bad falling out. They said they barely speaking to each other because Oprah asked Tyler Perry to bring in some more writers to help him with it, and Tyler Perry refused. And Oprah said that Tyler Perry don't take criticism, but what really broke the camel back is the squad that broke the camel back is Tyler Perry did a newspaper article, and Oprah didn't know about it, and he said some things that Oprah felt like he shouldn't have said, and that's what really caused the bad rip. So, but I'm saying this to say them, they are two mega players. They both, Oprah said in her interview, Tyler needed her and she needed Tyler. And and this is what the white man wants. The white man wants them to come together and dispute and, you know, and fight. Mm-hmm. And so they'll have to come to them. So the man said that Tyler Perry, the reason Tyler Perry, Oprah said this, and so this going to probably keep the feud going after a while, you're going to hear him split it. Tyler Perry, they was canceling his show, The White Network. That's why he came to Oprah Winfrey, because the white folks canceled his show because they said he wasn't getting enough ratings. So those are my hot topics for today.
Okay. Well,
do we have any new callers?
We actually have a caller, but I want to make a comment on that. Now, Gail King says that it's not true about
she's always going to say that.
Yeah, and it may not be true, and she may just be trying to say that so to keep the argument out of the news. Or whatever the case may be, I sure do hope that they resolve that, because we don't need Tyler and Oprah battling with each other. Go ahead on and put your little movies out, and we'll come out and see some of them. So work that out, Tyler and Oprah. Caller, I believe this is our friend, Mr. 804. How are you? Greetings.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm well.
I'm just enjoying the program. It's very, very interesting and informative. I think we need more and more of this, because this is what we need to get the story out, to get the word out. And there are so many people who just not aware. I accidentally found this program. And I tell everybody I meet about it. One thing, you'd be surprised of how many people you have with poor vision and are totally blind. And this is their chief way of staying in touch with the news media, because we really don't have any news that's pertinent to us. They have comments, what they want us to know, and tell us what they want us to see. But what we need to know comes from us.
That's right.
And I enjoy this program.
I'm so glad. We're glad that you called.
Do you have anything on our relationship?
Okay,
talking about our topic.
Well, I'll say this. Someone else have touched on it. So many people, after they've been in a relationship for a while, they do have a tendency to grow apart. Sometimes the difference in the culture will draw them apart. In a relationship that I've been in for a while, I think the only thing that really holds us together is the church. We discuss church a great deal, and we visit a great deal of the shut-in and do our Christian experiences. But other than that, the love game, you know, after you get a certain age, you've experienced everything just about there is to experience, except laying down with another man. That I have never done, and no intention. I don't ridicule it, but it's not for me. Mm-hmm. And after the children are gone and grown, all you have is each other. I know I've told my wife several times, I said, baby, you got to pay attention to me, and I pay attention to you. Because when we met, she had some kids. I said, well, let me tell you this. She did everything humanly possible and come to sacrificing for those children. But I said, honey, I'm going to tell you, when they meet somebody that they care about, it's going to be later for you and I. They're going to be gone, grown, and forgotten about us.
Yeah.
She told me, came to me crying. I told her that about 15, 17 years ago. She came to me last week. She said, baby, what you say is true. You know, they feel like they don't need me anymore. I said, it's time for them to learn how to fly, to stretch their own wings. They have to be grown. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's a good point right there. When your children may grow to a certain age where they start having their own lives and their own love, their own children. And so they're focusing on their own lives and their own families. And could that be a reason why people grow apart? It could be so many things, I think. Delta, what else do you think? What are some other reasons? What about for young people? Because I hear some young people say that about their relationships. So it's not that it's the years that have passed. It's just something else, something maybe sexual or emotional or what? What do you think, Delta? What else?
Well,
what are some other reasons? And we want to talk about how they can fix this, too.
Well, I think a lot of people today...
Delta, I'm sorry. Let's welcome in King B. My apologies,
hey.
King B. Hey,
Sorry to be a little late. How's everybody?
All
right. Good.
Mm-hmm. Ask King B what do you think about our subject. What do you think about our subject tonight, King B? Being together, but living in the same house, but you don't grow apart. You just there's no love there.
Well, I'm a living witness to that, and I'm amongst friends, so I feel comfortable to shutting my let my hair down. It's a thing that it's unfortunate that some people will be lucky to meet a soulmate, Then there are those who are unlucky. They met a cellmate. And there is a difference. And unfortunately, many relationships is not benefiting one of the couples, the person who may feel like it's all for naught. You know, it's like very painful. Your individualism is decimated. And it becomes very, very painful when you feel you are so alone to not able to talk to that particular person, to be able to relate to what is on your mind or your personal understanding where you're coming from. So it's like, and with our people living in this decadent society, racist society, it means so much. And you can talk to someone that knows exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah. But a lot of them don't even want to listen. You can't even talk to them.
Yeah, and you saying. Know what?
Number two is lack of communication on this list, as in reference to 13 reasons, 13 signs you and your partner may be drifting apart. Let me share this. Number one.
Yeah, let me hear that one.
Okay, 13 signs you and your partner may be drifting apart. Now, if you can attribute your relation to these 13, at least I would say 7 of these, 5, to your relationship, then we need to work on some things. So number one, less intimacy, okay? Not just sex, but just the intimacy overall, like holding hands or sitting down watching TV and talking together. Okay, number two, lack of communication. Communication is the key in any relationship. It is such an integral part. Again, you will probably notice this fairly quickly. You two might still be talking to each other, but you may no longer be communicating anything about your feelings, your moods, and so on. That's a good point. And then number three, nothing to talk about. You have nothing at all to talk about with this person. You realize that you and your partner no longer have anything to talk about. It could be a gradual process, and it's not uncommon for some couples to simply realize it one day, like they've been hit with a ton of bricks by the realization. Wow. Okay, number four, no common interest. So you just don't have anything in common in the first darn place. Number five, no one's laughing. You should have that kind of relationship. Well, I would think that it would be a beautiful relationship to have someone that you can make them laugh and they can make you laugh.
Thank you.
You can laugh together. And so, like, if you start realizing that there's no more laughter in the relationship, then that can be a sign that the two of you are growing apart, or some kind of troubles or something. Maybe some stress going on in the relationship. Number six is no more one-on-one time. No more let spending time together one-on-one, which is really important in relationships. You spend less and less time together. Number seven, this plays into our topic, feelings of distance. If when you are together, you sense a distance, that can be a sign as well. This may not be deliberate at all. However, as two people grow further and further apart, feelings of distance can grow naturally between them. They are not necessarily trying to be icy. They simply don't feel as close. Number eight, a sense of detachment. So it seems like you're just completely detached from your partner, vice versa. Okay, it's like you're leading separate lives. Number nine, no sex life. Ugh. Now, if I'm married, you're not having any sex, I'm going to be really upset about that. So number nine, no sex life. If you have reached this level of intimacy and are having sex, then the lack thereof is a big red flag. Maybe you stop being together altogether. Maybe you're simply going longer and longer periods of not having sex. Now, I can understand if maybe, you know, you get to a point, maybe somebody's sick or
Now they have Viagra, so men can take Viagra. But then sometimes women go through that change too, where they don't feel like having sex, I hear. So that could be an issue as well. And I think maybe in that case, maybe seeing a sex therapist would help. I think that's important. And then number 10, frequent fights. What were you saying, Candy? Candy?
No, there's an undercurrent for work of seeking for men. Goes to their menopause, it could be the fact that there is a low TD, better known as testosterone.
Uh-huh.
And when you get a certain age, they have a reduction in the testosterone where they don't have the desire to have sex or the energy is not there. But it's the idea of Viagra is just a crutch to give you a false sense of security. But if you have no testosterone, it's like a car that needs a jump cable to get the battery energy and juice. It's a thing where a lot of men at a certain age, they're not aware that if you have no testosterone, you can't perform. And then if you're not attracted to that person anymore, it becomes a thing where you can take it or leave it, because that person is a turnoff. There's no longer that. That song came out years ago. The thrill is gone.
The thrill is gone, baby King.
You know that song?
Sing it,
baby. Sing it.
Okay, Candy, sometimes they say number 11, the priorities have changed. If you see that you and your significant other no longer put the effort that is needed to set a date night, have a conversation. Something is up. The two of you need to reevaluate your priorities and talk about whether or not your relationship is one of them. Relationships require constant work. See, that date night, that time, that special time that you spend together, even if it's just maybe going to sit outside in the backyard together with a little candle and some music, I think couples should do that. And that's intimate to me. It don't always have to be about the sex.
That's right.
That intimacy. Mm-hmm. Just sit out on the patio, the balcony. Go take a walk by the park and sit up under a tree. You know, drink some juice, have a smoothie. Okay. Number 12, socialize, become separate. So I guess it's like you're just living, they're living their life, you're living your life, and you just live two separate lives. I knew a lady who said that her and her husband, they were like roommates. And he actually brings other women over sometimes, and she'll bring other men over. But they wouldn't, have, intercourse with anyone there at the house. But, I mean, it was like if it was a date, someone coming to pick them up, it was understood, okay, you can have your date come and pick you up or your person come by and visit you. And they were just living together.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine some people are able to continue relationships like that. Number 13, there's no talk of the future. So nobody's speaking about where the relationship is heading. If you and your partner don't discuss the future, it's because you don't see each other in them. This could be a sign that the two of you are starting to drift apart. Interesting. So those are 13 signs, Delta. You and your partner might be drifting apart. I think those top two, less communication and less intimacy, lack of communication and less intimacy, I think that those are two primary things that people may begin to notice. And no common interest, nothing to talk about.
Well, I think
it compounds the problem.
Compounds the problem.
Mm. Well, I don't think less intimacy have nothing to do when you get older. I think mostly more communication when you get older and you're going out and you enjoying life and doing things together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get a certain age, I mean, that's more important, going out and spending time together.
Yeah. As they say, you're supposed to grow on each other and not grow, come detach from each other. So a lot of relationships that people are using false sense of security to stay in a relationship, but it's not the fact that they are growing on each other where they have some spiritual and emotional or physical role, a healthy environment that way, because it's just a thing where they're bored, they're lonely, it's very aggravating, humiliating, but people tend to not want to face the reality that your mate is not the same mate you met 25, 35, 40 years ago, and you become, God forbid, there's a poor health. Now you're stuck with that person because they gotta take care of you, or you gotta take care of that person, and you feel obligated not to want to leave that person because the person is not well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, out of respect.
Yeah, that's true too, Candy. Now you're absolutely correct on that one.
So it just becomes a thing where if you got to go out...
Like you're tied to the hip.
Yeah, and if you go out to get some dessert, I say don't feel guilty because you are still human. Now, you can buy the artificial stimulants to stimulate you, but it's like a thing where if you are... outside someone who can understand that you are not going to be in a situation where you don't need to be hassled by someone who might turn to be psycho. Now you got a bigger problem because you're trying to stay with your mate without causing any ruckus or revoked situation. Now you ran into a psycho that is just not willing to go along with the original agreement.
That's so true, Candy.
Do we have any more callers on the line?
Check and let you know when we do, but I do have a little clip that I want to play right before we go on break. And
A lady called and got our number, and she said she was going to call in. That's why I asked.
Okay, so when the number pops up, then I'll see it.
Make sure
she press *61, and she'll be able to get queued in, and we can hear from her and anyone else that would like to call. So let me just give out the phone number before we go on break. 641-715-3660, and the code is 549032, press pound. And don't forget to press *61 if you would like to speak. So that's 641-715-3660, 549032 is the code. Let me ask Candy this. So, Candy, you were watching the hearings, right? The Flint hearings?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so were you able to see Governor Snyder's?
That criminal was able to walk away real fast when the hearing was over. He got out of there like he was hit by a lightning bolt. And no one, including the black members on the panel of the prisoners, would not dare say a word about arrest this man. That says, you need to resign. He's not going to resign. He is so arrogant, so full of himself, and he's so sure, because of the corruption and the racism in Michigan, he's well insulated. Then compounding the problem, a sister was interviewed on Democracy Now! yesterday, and she said that there has been no move from President Obama to declare Flint, Michigan, a federal disaster area, which would enable and force FEMA to bring in the super tanker trucks that would carry tons of water. Mm-hmm. Rather than people relying on bottled water to take a bath, cook, brush their teeth. It's outrageous in the year of our Lord 2016 this hearing resolved nothing. Nothing was resolved. They know that the governor is a criminal, and that the black members of the panel, including one of the most senior members, Elijah Cummings. Yeah, not going to say a mumbling word about arresting this governor. No black man, if he was the governor of a state like Michigan, there is a black governor in Massachusetts. Let's say that black governor was to allow, knowing full well that the water was poisoned in a predominant white town. He let the citizens of the town kept in the dark about their children are in great danger. He would be probably given a choice of rope, cotton or silk, but he wouldn't survive to tell the story how he didn't do what he
Okay, you know, can we, let's take a break and we'll come right back with that.
Yeah,
I love that he'd be given a choice of wrong. We will be right back, and you are listening to The Lotus Place. And call in and share your thoughts and your comments with us tonight as we discuss, are you lonely when your mate is around? What's missing? What's going on? And also keeping you updated on all the hot topics with Delta Cougar. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
More than 100 asylum seekers have been rescued off the Libyan coast as they were trying to reach Italy's shores. Authorities in Libya say the migrants were returned to the country's capital, where they were transferred to an illegal migrants facility. Since the start of 2014, the country has become a major route for migrants seeking to reach Europe, with more than 300,000 people making it through. But traffickers have also taken advantage of the conflict the country faces between the rival governments and armed factions to transport the migrants to Europe. Of the 3,700 migrant deaths reported in 2015, 2,000 of these occurred en route to Italy from North Africa. Hundreds of packed boats, often overcrowded with migrants from North Africa and Turkey, make it through to reach Greek and Italian shores, since the two countries are on the front line of Europe's migration crisis.
But the corona control were not there. They were not part of the discussion.
First, we had bacteria in the water. We do not have bacteria in the water in the street. So we're talking about the control, the corrosion control. That's what it is.
Okay, my clip is not playing. All right, let's try another one here. Just hold on. This is a clip on how to find your soulmate.
Hello, this is Vern, and if you're interested in finding out how to find the most amazing lover and soulmate in 2016, stick around, because I'll be sharing with you how to do just that on my episode today. Hello, this is Vern. Welcome to your GreatLife2.com. Today is another edition of Get the Love You Crave, and I'm super excited right now to be sharing with you my first video, 2016, which is how to create that connection to the most amazing lover and soulmate today, this year, this month. And the way to do that is I'm going to share with you right now, regardless of what you went through last year, regardless of whether you have your heart recently broken or not, if you've never been able to create this kind of result, this kind of connection, if you know that it exists because you've seen it in movies and your friends, but you've never felt it, it is definitely possible to feel it. And this 4 steps that I'm going to give you right now will give you a tremendously higher chance of you getting it sooner. Okay? The first one is focus on being the light. What does that mean? Focus on being the light is you being the kind of woman who is so connected to amazing stuff in her own life that she becomes a source of radiance, a source of brilliance, a source of aliveness, a source of passion. Because when you are that, when you're filling your emotional tank and your love tank with not just self-love and self-care, but also the things that make you feel connected and happy and alive, you become that person that when you enter a room, men feel something shifting inside of them. They feel it in their heart. They feel it in their root chakra. They feel it everywhere. And it affects them at a level where they can't even think. They just get this weird sense, and it's you. It's your magic, right? So focusing on being the light is going to be a primary way where you'll be able to get this. Why? Because you can do all the things to make it work, the practical things, the online dating, the whole thing. If you're coming at it from an angle of not being that source of radiance, it's going to be an exponential challenge for you, where if you just center on this, then things start happening for you. Somebody stops you in the middle of the road. Somebody sees you from across the room and says, oh my God, I need to connect with her, and goes over and gives you his phone number, asks for your number. That happens so often when you focus on being the light. Number two, drop to your heart. I cannot tell you how many women I connect with who want to get this love thing going, but they're so stuck in their heads that they don't get a chance to really feel what's out there. And they never get a chance to connect to a man from a place of truth and honesty and giving him the space to feel seen and heard and absolutely loved by someone, right? And when you allow yourself to go from your mind to your heart as a primary mode of conversation, a primary mode of being, that makes a huge difference in your ability to dramatically shorten the time span it takes for you to create this. So how do you do this? You're driving, drop to your heart. You're all in your head thinking about your world domination plans. Drop to your heart and ask yourself, what am I feeling? What is the truth of this moment? Notice what's going on. Become fully present. Same thing happens when you're connecting to a guy. Instead of being all in your head, judging him, thinking, going 5 steps ahead, can he give you the father of my children? Come back to your heart. What is this man telling me? Where is his heart? What is he feeling? How do I feel next to him? Does he have a good energy or bad vibes? Like, what am I feeling? Get to the truth of what you're feeling. Connect to it as a mode of practice. Make this your practice. Connect to your heart. When you communicate with people, when you enter rooms, when you talk on the phone, like, drop to your heart. Number three, risk it daily. What do I mean by that? Risking it daily simply means that you're going to make it a commitment this year that if there's something out there that you want to do that is scary as shit, but it's going to help you get what you want, you're going to do it fully or you're going to take some steps to make it happen. Why do I say this? Because if you're the kind of woman who's taking more risks daily, what bigger risk is there than giving your heart completely to someone? There is no bigger risk. But if you're not doing, there's smaller things than that that you're not taking action on, the likelihood that you're going to open your heart and give to someone is very small. So by you connecting every single day with things that are scary but good for you, and you take that step, you lean over the edge, and you see it, and you stand in that, and that becomes more comfortable for you, that risking it, that getting uncomfortable is going to become your best ally to be able to A, connect to a man and be able to gauge where he's coming from, and B, if he's the right guy, be willing to go more, go the distance, go the heart, and through that, being able to create the kind of attraction, devotion, passion in him that, again, as I said before, he doesn't know what hit him, but he knows he must move forward. Because if he doesn't, then he's risking and he's missing big time. Fourth step, have standards that are proportional to your awesomeness. What do I mean by this? I, again, connect to a lot of women who have an amazing standard of what they want to experience, but they're not focusing on being the light. They're not dropping to the heart. They're connecting from their mind. They're not risking it. And they still have the high standards. So let me tell you something. If you have high standards about being that person who should have the high standards, it's not going to happen. The universe says, fuck you, basically. But if you are the woman who's connecting to her energy, her aliveness, her passion, she's risking it daily, and then you have high standards, then absolutely everything is possible for you. The saddest question I get asked is when women say, hey, Bryn, this is what I want. I want a guy who's honest and has integrity and is passionate and is spiritual. Is that too much to ask? And the look in their faces is almost as if they're saying, oh my God, this is never going to happen. It's absolutely not too much to ask if you become the woman who attracts that guy. And becoming that woman is simpler than you think. It's not easy, but it's simple. And these four steps are a great way to actually get there. If you think this is insightful, powerful, helpful in any way, I'm going to ask you to do three things. Number one, click like on this video. Number two, subscribe to my channel. Number three, if you haven't done so already, I'm going to give you a link on the description of this video or on this place right here where you can actually sign up to a blueprint webinar that's going to share with you how to find your soulmate in 9 days or less. Super powerful stuff, goes a lot more in depth.
So you think you can find your soulmate, anybody?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just too, maybe in love with love. I kind of say that it comes from a soulmate is something thing that it just happens. It's nothing that you work on. It's just that the spiritual alignment comes and there it is and kabam, kaboom. The sparks fly and all that. That's kind of the way I think it really is. I can't refute what he's saying, that if a person wants to go that route of planning, that's good. That's okay if that's what you are. But I'm just not that type myself. And I think that is the kind of relationship that will last a lifetime, and that, you know, when you were talking earlier, people growing apart. You don't grow apart from your soulmate. You and your soulmate, even though you had them bumps and burps and whatever catastrophes, you still are hanging in there. You still understand that even after the children are grown and gone, that there's something there that you all have in common. It's like your best friend, you know? It's a friend kind of thing. And so even after all the sparkles and the sex things, or you think, okay, maybe a deterrent and not that important in either one of your lives or one of your lives or whatever, it's still that friendship that's there that's really even stronger than some of that. I mean, even like you said, the intimacy part, I think of that kind of a friendship, of that kind of a love in your life is what holds it and bonds it together. Bind it, and nothing or nobody can really tear that sort of thing apart, I don't think. So I just think you don't grow apart necessarily. I think you just have a relationship that's troubled from the outset, and it's that you let it grow apart and you didn't work on it, or you didn't nurture it if it was one of those that really needed to be resuscitated, or it really wasn't there in the beginning. But even those sometimes can be held together if the people respect each other and their friends first. So that's just my take on it. And the intimacy piece doesn't have to be a sexual piece. It can be any kind of it can even be a conversation, it's a communication, it could be talking, not just intimacy in the sense of most people's understanding of intimacy.
Absolutely. And you know, and I think we could do a whole show on just spending time together, connecting with each other.
Yeah.
I see how Okay. Thank you, sir. In the meantime, let's just do this. Let's just play a clip that I love this type of music. This is a good friend of mine in Chicago. And this is a great film. I want to play this. No, I think I'm going to play. Let's play this one. Let's just laugh together. Just please get favorable. The music of my good friend Tepica Delta. Do we have you back?
Yeah.
Okay. And I said hi to King B.
Hey, I'm here. That sounds better now.
Okay. All right. What's going on? Yeah. Let me see. King B, what about you? Check in, King B.
check, mic check.
yeah, mic check. That's what I was trying to say. Mic check. King B.
What happened to King Bay? I see him there. King Bay, just call back in. Maybe it's the line. All right. Okay, Dale. You want to share a little more on our topic for tonight?
Yeah.
Expand a little bit more.
Yeah, and this the lady was okay. You want to do hot topics or go back into? Because I didn't understand. I just go back.
Yeah, you want to go back into the subject, or did you have another hot topic for us?
Oh yeah, I can give you another hot topic if you want one.
Okay.
Okay. And my little grandson, this wanted to do the hot topic. He came to me and he said, "Grandmama, I want to make some money." And so I began to talk to him, and I was telling him, in order to make money, grandmother wants you to take. And the idea came about is when I saw the young man who was on 60 Minutes some years ago. When he was 9 years old, he came from a single. He was an only child, and his mother was a single parent. And he wanted to help his mother. And he didn't have any money. And he lived in the housing project. So he went around and started doing all these rocks and painting these rocks. But anything, he became a millionaire. So I told my grandson, I said, "You got to figure out something that you can do to make money." I said, "You have to go and ask somebody to cut the grass or whatever." So I began to look on the internet and I Google. And as I Google, there have been so many young, we have a lot of young black kids have really, 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 really good entrepreneurs. So that's going to be one of my hot topics from now on. I'm going to take a subject from that and we're going to talk about that. And we can let the young people know as they hear in our voice ways how they can make money. So I told my grandson, "You go, and we can do this down south, and you know, and this is what we do." So I told him, I said, "Okay, I'm gonna buy you a 50-pound sack of peanuts, and I'm gonna parse your peanuts and pop you some popcorn. I'm gonna get him a wagon, and I'm gonna take him around through the neighborhood and make him up a flyer." And I'm going to sell his, he will sell his peanuts for $2 and a dollar and his popcorn for $1.50 and $1.
Hmm.
So this is how we teach them to be entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And this is how Paula Deen started. So this is a hot topic. You take something that you love to do. You got to be creative to make things happen for you.
Yes.
My grandson is 7. He is so excited to go and start to selling his peanuts and popcorn. It's plenty of ways. It's plenty of ways.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It's plenty of ways to make money. So my grandson came up with another idea, and this child ain't but 7. He says, "Grandmama," no, he's 8. He made 8. His grandmama, "When you selling the watermelons and the vegetables," he said, "can I get a table beside yours and pull up there and sell my popcorn and peanuts?" And I told him, "Yes, you can." So to me, that is a hot topic to let young folks know in the community, there's many, many ways. And it may not have to be selling peanuts. It may could be something else. You could sell corn candy. You can do anything your heart desires, but you have to put your mind to it. And this
and
is
you
a
are
hot
so,
topic.
You are so right. And that young man's name that you're talking about that did the artwork with those rocks of unique shape is Farrah Gray, F-A-R-R-A-H, Gray. And you are so right. There are so many of them around. And I'm so happy to hear you come up with the idea to highlight that every week, so that young people can know what's going on, because we do have a lot of problems. But the sad fact of the matter is, we're doing just what the national and the mainstream media does. We're highlighting everything that's negative in our community when there's a lot of positive we could be doing. And we have to not fall into that trap. So I'm so glad to hear you say that. Your little grandson is looking at you. You're such a great example for him doing that. And that's where he's, you know, our children are always looking at us and figuring out how they can do what we do. And so that's good that he's paying attention.
You absolutely correct. And I have instilled in him, okay, you can go out and you can sell your vegetables. You can, and down south in the summertime, everybody loves tomatoes. When I say they love tomatoes, we just sell over 3,000 to 4,000 tomatoes a week.
3,000 to 4,000
a week. Yes. Mm. This is how much they love them. And they take them now. A lot of the black people, we don't do ours that way. But a lot of the white folks, they buy so many from us, the Caucasian people. And they take them. And even my pastor, which is black, he does it. He does just like the Caucasian. He takes, he said he get him a slice of bread and take his tomatoes and put him some, put mayonnaise on his bread and take his tomatoes and eat, put salt and pepper on them. Oh, and a lot of the Caucasian people eat them just like that. But a lot of the black people in our community, we eat them with vinegar and salt and cucumbers. But then if I'm going to eat a fresh garden tomato, I want it to be with salt. And then another way, and then we're going to get back into our topic. Another way that is, another way is I saw my auntie do this. She takes boiling hot water, and when we get a fresh tomato, we drop the tomato in there for 3 to 2 seconds. That's it. And we take it right out of the hot water, but the water got to be boiling. And once we cut that tomato up, we take a teaspoon of sugar and we take a light pepper and salt and you cut it up and dice it. And you take that and put it in there and we eat a fresh tomato just like that. So it's many ways. So I want the young folks to know there's many, many ways to teach them how to make money. And that's going to be one of my new subjects. Because my grandson wants to learn how to make money, and I want young folks to know that we can create and make our own way.
Well, that's what we're going to have to do, because there are no more jobs that's going to be provided for our generation of children. It's just not going to happen, and that is the upcoming thing. You have to be entrepreneurs and figure ways and how you can fit into the economy in that manner, to build like our new Wall Street or the new Tulsa, you know, the Black Wall Street kind of thing. And I am, you got my mouth watering for some fresh, homegrown, on the vine, ripened tomatoes now, though, by the way, when you were talking about those tomatoes, there's nothing like a tomato that's grown red on the vine rather than picked green and shipped all over the place.
Oh, I know that's right. Well,
They just smell. You can smell them when you walk in the house if you have some of those.
Yes.
Other ones,
and
you can't smell
so
them.
Good. And I don't even really care for tomatoes, but
me either. But that one is good.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really good down south. They really good when you pull them right out and off the vine, and we have pulled them right off the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just bite into them and start eating them just like that.
We used to do that too. My mother used to have a garden, and we used to do that from her garden as well.
Mm-hmm. Just speaking, and then we can get back into the topic. But just speaking about what you were saying about that little recipe with the tomatoes, the cucumbers, and what did you say, like salt and pepper, a little seasoning.
Vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's funny because, you know, I just always have to think about how African dishes have just crossed over into so many different cultures, and it just goes to show you that everything always goes back, well, many things always go back to the motherland. So it's a Mediterranean dish, and I think they call it a cucumber salad, but there are slices of cucumbers and tomatoes and a little seasoning in there, and it's a Mediterranean dish. But here you are in the South, in Mississippi, eating a very similar dish.
You mean they don't can those tomatoes anymore? I thought you were going to talk about that, too, to make soup.
Oh.
And just another like way they take them down south, we take fresh peas. If you ever heard of purple hull peas?
Purple hull peas, yeah.
They take the purple hull peas and they, you know, like fresh peas, they would take a diced tomato, a fresh diced tomato right off the vine. A store-bought tomato won't work. It's got to come right off that vine. I mean, you can use it, but it tastes better with that fresh garden tomato.
Hey, everything tastes better with a ripe on the vine tomato.
So they take that and they dice it up over the peas on your plate, and they take it with a white onion or a purple onion, and they take that and they eat their greens with it, eat their peas with that, and that's very, very good. That's many ways. Then they take the green, they fry the green tomatoes. They take the green tomatoes, mm-hmm. and they would make an egg, like an egg batter with milk and egg, mm-hmm. and they would dice it. They would dice it in that milk and batter, mm-hmm. and then you can turn around, and you can do it two ways. You can do it with meal, and you can do it with flour. And I prefer mm-hmm. mine with the meal and fry it. So mm-hmm. it's many ways. Then you can take your cucumbers and your fresh tomatoes and chop it up and get you some olive oil, lemon juice, and shake it up with your olive oil and lemon juice, a little with the crushed garlic and purple onion, and saute your shrimp, or you can boil your shrimp for just no more than 2-3 minutes. Let the water be boiling and let them sit no more than 2-3 minutes. Then you take it and you put it over in your olive oil and cucumber and purple onion, and you eat that. You let it set and so it can kind of season in there, and you eat that over your cucumbers and tomatoes, and that's really, really good. It's many ways in the summertime we use our tomatoes.
Oh, yes. Well, Delta, let's take a break, and then we'll come right back and we can jump into the topic again.
Okay.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And we're back here at the Lotus Place, and you know what, Delta, it is time for your Delta Cougar letter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Let me see. Let's get Delta Cougar's letter. And if you have a question for Delta, if you have something that's puzzling you, then you can write in to Delta at the Lotus Place Radio Show at gmail.com. That's the Lotus Place Radio at gmail.com. Delta, what can they write letters to you in regards to? If they have a question about what?
They can write in to Delta about buying real estate, about how to buy a house with no money down, how to take one house and buy many more houses. Then they can write in to Delta about how to go out, and like I said, I'm going to let this be my new segment too, on how to show the community how to take something that you love to do and make money with it. Then you can ask Delta about your sex life. You can ask Delta, do you keep your husband or chuck him out? You can ask Delta, do you want to keep your woman or put her clothes out beside the door? You can ask Delta. You can ask Delta anything. Delta is ready for you. If you got a headache, you can write Delta on how to control the headache. Whatever's going on in your life, just ask Delta. Delta give you the best advice she can. Give you that old country advice. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Some of that southern good old time knowledge. Thank you, Delta. Well, okay, this is a letter, Delta. This lady says that she is getting her sexy back. She wants to get her sexy back. She's been hearing us talk about getting the sexy back on the show, apparently. And so she says she's getting her sexy back. Now she says, dear Delta, I've always been a woman who's dated men that are older than me, at least 5 to 8, sometimes even 10 years older than I am. However, now that I am an older woman, I consider myself an older woman. I am in my 40s, approaching 50, and I feel like I still look very good for my age, and it must be true to some of the men that I see, especially some of the younger men at work. I am constantly being approached by younger men that I work with. There's this one particular young man. He is 8 years younger than I am, which normally, as I said, I normally date men that are about 8 years older than I am. And so I'm a little hesitant to even go out with him, even though we have a lot of fun at work. We often go out for drinks with other coworkers after work or dinner, simple things like that, but always in a group. And we tend to flirt with each other, but we've never been one-on-one. Delta, I need your help. I am attracted to him. I know he's attracted to me. But I'm just concerned about, number one, dating someone that I work with, even though our office is very open. There are no restrictions on having relationships in the office. But I sometimes feel like he may be too young for me, and maybe I might find that we have nothing in common but just harmful, playful flirting. What should I do? Because he keeps asking me to go out. Delta, hello? What should she do?
Mm-hmm. Well, the number one thing is I would go out with him just on one-on-one, have dinner, and have a conversation to see what we do. We have something in common. Because flirting is okay, playful flirting, but the real world won't come after a while. And that's just an old South saying. The real world gonna come, and what I mean is, you want somebody gonna be able, a man to be able to run that home, and that's the main thing. And then, if she's comfortable with him being younger than her, mm-hmm. I don't see nothing wrong with it. If he's mature and he ready to handle the whole loaf of bread, how my daddy used to say, if he's ready to handle that whole loaf,
the whole loaf,
you know,
of
if
bread.
It moved, yeah, and that whole loaf of bread, daddy used to break it down, and daddy used to say, is when he can run the house and pay every bill in the house and tend to everything. Even though you ain't got that for yet, but that's what a real woman, at least my age, will be thinking. I will be thinking I need somebody to help me, you know, run a home. Nobody wants nobody that they got to take care of. I know I don't. So it's okay to flirt. It's okay to go out with him. But I need to see what we have in common. And I know a young man in my church married a woman, and they've been married now a good while. And she is about 10 years or more older than him. And they are still together. Mm-hmm. And things seem to be going fine. And she's a nice looking lady. She's very, very petite. Walk around in them 3-inch heels like it ain't nothing. Jump around in them like it ain't nothing. Oh. And you know, they've been married a while, so I don't have a really too much a problem with it, but the first thing I would do, let me get her on the right track. First thing I would do is go sit down and have dinner with him one-on-one and let's see where he's coming from. Now, if you want a young man to play, you go ahead on and play. But if you want somebody that you want to build something with, you need to sit down and see where he's coming from. Because flirting is okay. But flirting can't pay no lights, no water, no rent, no nothing. Well, we need to see where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. And if he's mature and you feel like he's mature enough and he's talking the right stuff, then you move to the next level. But all you got to do is be around him a while. And then a lot of times, young men are attracted to older women strictly for the sex.
What do you mean by that?
And what I mean by that, because they know we are got more experience than they do. Mm-hmm. And they wanna be taught something in the bedroom. They know that it's not gonna be the same with an older woman and a young girl. Because an older woman like Icy High and myself, we know just what we got to do in the bedroom in order to keep a man. We know just what we got to do. But a younger woman, she's trying to figure it out. And it's the truth. It's the truth.
I don't know what and to we, do. I can't keep a man.
But it's the truth. And we already figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe, and Audrey probably already figured it out.
No, we know Miss Audrey got it. Miss Audrey got it down pat. Her tantra sex.
Uh-huh. It's just, in this first thing, go out to dinner. And let's talk and let's see where he's coming from. That's the number one thing. I don't see a big thing with the age difference. But to each his own. Me personally, I wouldn't do it. But I wouldn't knock nobody else. I got to see where he's coming from. And if he coming from at a mature level, okay, let's see.
Well, you know, I have a cousin. And he has never dated anyone except women that were a lot older than him. And 8 years is nothing. We're talking women who are probably 15 years older than he. And that was right out of the stall when he was in his 20s. He always dated older women. And the woman that he eventually married, that's about the age he was that age. Over him, and he's very good to women. He had a very good job. He bought her the most beautiful, wonderful, spectacular home in Texas, and he always had big, beautiful homes, and you know, he worked. You know, he's just a very, very good man, and that's all he ever dated were older women, and not no 8 years difference. I mean, really older, and so.
But do you not know
something to it? And yeah, he was. Yeah, and she acted like.
But do you know something? Icy Hot is very, very common. It's very common in the Caucasian community. That
really?
A lot of, is very common in the Caucasian community, where white women have always dated men way, you know, way younger than them. It's common in their community.
Well, I know in certain other cultures too, even in the African culture, it's nothing for men to marry women that are older than they are. It's just kind of okay. And Vietnamese, same thing.
And then a lot of them, they stay with the women. They don't leave. They stick right there and stay with them and raise families. I have seen it so much. It's so common among them. But I hate to see it in our community. When we started getting some wrinkles and some rough rolls on our face, they get up out of there, a lot of them. They won't, but it's true. I'm telling you, it's true.
So
I had a friend, I can tell you a true story. I had she's still my friend. She had a good job. She worked a very, very good job. And she was a public defender. And what she would do, she told me, she says, I met this guy. And she said, Dorothy, I'm going to marry him. And she says, I'm 11 years older than him. And she told me she was so happy about it. Oh, she was so happy. And she told me, she says, he matured and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, this. And I told her these words. I said, I wouldn't do it. I said, I wouldn't marry him for nothing in the world. I just wouldn't do it. I said, I wouldn't do it. I said, I'm very skeptical of that. But she married him. And I think it lasts for about maybe 5 or 6 years. And they got a divorce. And that was her.
5 or 6 years.
That was her second marriage. And she was devastated. She was truly, truly devastated. She was truly devastated.
Well, sometimes I guess I don't know exactly what was going on. Did she say what caused?
No, she didn't. No, she didn't tell me anything. When I saw her again, she told me that she was divorced, and you can tell it had took a toll on her. She had lost so much weight, and you can just see that she had a sadness about her. And I told her from the jump, don't do it. I said, I wouldn't do that.
You could see it.
I would just be afraid. That's what I'm saying. You have to take your chances with it. If you feel like you can take your chances with it, that's good. But me, I wouldn't.
What kind of position did the man have?
He was on the sheriff's department.
Okay. Well, you know, that can happen if you're the same age too. I mean, I don't know that played that big of a role in it. The age difference, and not people get married and get a divorce within 5 years.
But my mother told us. Now, my mother told us when we was girls coming up, and I have always dated somebody older than me, too, Miss Hattie. I always married somebody older than me. Only had one young boyfriend, that was when I was in high school. But my mother taught us from a little bit of girl, and I remember her words just as good. She said, always get somebody older than you. She said, because he is settled. She said, he ran out there, he been down that road, and he ready to settle. And my mama say, much older guys, they are settled men. They are did that, and they're ready to stay home. A lot of the young ones are not. They're ready to sow their wild oats. And that is, and it's true. It's really true. It is a big difference in a young man and an older man.
I can see that because, you have some young men, they are trying to still find themselves, just like young girls, but I think in particular young men.
That is correct.
Still trying to find themselves and still exploring different relationships and trying to see what type of women they want in their lives. Wife material, someone that they could see spending their the rest of their lives with. And, but I think it's okay for young men and young women to do that, explore, so that you won't feel like you've missed out on something in life. When you do become, I say, 35, 36, 37.
Yeah, but that is correct.
There's some people, though, they marry so early, I think, and they do begin to feel like that when they've been married to this one person all their life. Like, this is their high school sweetheart. Then they dated this person and throughout high school, and then they married them, and then they stay married for 10 or 15 years, have two or three children. Then that's all they know. And I think that sometimes that's beautiful. And I have heard some people say they still feel like, maybe I missed out on something because this is the only person that I've ever been with. But then at the same time, in the same vein, I think that if this is the love of your life, like your soulmate, then you don't feel like you missed out on each other, on anything else, I would think. But I don't know, because I haven't been in that position. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you, like I said, they got to reach out. And if they feel like they can go through with it, I don't see nothing wrong with it, because he could be your soulmate. And then I got to give you another case that I know. I know another black lady. She been married to her husband, oh my God, I know over 30-something years or more. And she's 15 years old in her husband. And they are married, still married to this day, and they have been married all these times. Then I have the nephew that, my nephew, because my boy is 37, so my nephew got to be 39. And he's been with this girl in Minnesota, and he's been with her over, when he met her, she was 10 years older than him. And they are together right now, and I know they've been together, oh my God, over 14 years or more, and they still together. And they have a little baby together. She had a baby after she had grown kids. She gave him a child because he didn't have one. And that little girl is about 5 years old, going on 5, I know. And they are together.
And now, and how old is the woman?
The woman is, I know my nephew is, but she's 10 years older than him. So, and he ain't but 39, so she got to be, what, about 49 or 50? And they've been together a long time. But you talking about now, she keeps herself up now. I got to tell you that. And see, that goes a long way, women, when we keep ourselves up. When you see, she keeps her weight down. She look like she wear about a 10. She keeps her weight down, and she's very nice looking, and she works out. And she has a good job. And she has a good job, and my nephew works for Human Resource.
So did the lady that you're talking about, that was 8 years, no, that was your letter, that was 8 years difference, but did, that you talked about being a law enforcement, had a law enforcement husband, did she let herself go and get fat?
Well, when she married him, she was kind of like, kind of stocky. You know, she had was kind of stocky. But you talking about a beautiful girl. Oh, if you see her picture, she was a beautiful girl. I don't literally know what went wrong. I'm being honest. I literally don't know. And I don't think she let herself went down. Because me and her started the same way. And when I say the same way, I mean, I love the dress. You'll never see me leave out of my house. I got to be really sick. Real sick in order to not to do this. You will never see me leave out of my house
without my makeup and lipstick on, and with me a matching pantsuit and matching shoes and stuff, even if I'm just running to the store. This is the way I like to dress, and that just me. And this is the way this young lady, I know her. This is the way she did too. And like I said, I don't know what went wrong in the relationship. To this day, I don't know what went wrong. And if I ever see her again, I'm asking. But she was so happy. She was really happy. I don't know. And that's what I'm saying about in our relationship. After a while, we fall out of love.
You think?
Because we don't put a lot of energy into it anymore.
We'll fall out of love. You don't put any energy into keeping the love there and keeping the fire lit. And maybe
because
we
get overwhelmed doing so many other things. And then you lose the communication. And people don't realize communication.
Well, maybe it's a priority. Maybe it's a priority piece too. Is a relationship a priority in your life? And for many people, a relationship is not top priority. It may be in there and it'll be okay if it is, but then it could be way down in, you know, eighth or ninth place. And a lot of other things might be more, you know, of higher priority, like a career, maybe a person's family, their own, you know, siblings and whatever, all kinds of things. It could be schooling, just anything. What people's priorities are, their job.
Yeah.
Could be.
Delta,
you want to close us out for tonight? We're at the top of our last hour. So you want to give the lady her last?
Her last feedback is, remember this, first go out to dinner with you and him, this one-on-one, and you take it from there, and you see how the relationship goes, because y'all are attracted to each other, and you're flirting, but it can be just sex-wise attraction, because you can get an attraction with a person strictly just for sex. And it may not go no further than that. And if you okay with that, that's fine.
That's what I was just about to say. And now if they're okay with that, then that should be okay with them.
You know,
that's
what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
You know, it's not something I would do, but what I'm saying, if that's what she's looking for, because she's saying herself, they flirt with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and when you go to flirting, that's to me more sexually. And they want to taste the water. The old folks used to say they want to try their water to see what it feel like. But it's
they
the truth.
Try the water to see what it
but
feel
it's the
like.
Truth. They want to try it and see what it feel like, and see they want to see what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
And the excitement is there because of the flirting. Think about it. The excitement is there because it's flirting.
Uh-huh.
It's just like a man when he get ready to a woman, a man, he get ready to be intimate with that partner. He gonna start flirting and pulling out all the stops and really get you worked up and ready to go. So that's just like he doing. They are flirting and they ready to jump more than anything because sex wise. Think about what they're doing. That's what she said in the letter. We flirt, we sin, and we flirt back, we flirt back, we flirt back. Don't you know flirting brings on a feeling? And it's going to bring on a feeling, and after a while, you're going to want that feeling to move forward. But the only thing I say, go out to dinner and see where it go from there. If you want, if you think you want to take it serious, you need to see what he's talking about. And you need to get him one-on-one and see where he's going. Then you need to see how many baby mamas you got to deal with and how many kids you got. Because that's another baggage come with the younger party. That's another thing.
You have to see what's going on about the children. See if that's something
so my key to her is more power to you. Don't see nothing wrong with it. Go out to dinner and let's talk and let's see where it go from there. Don't have no problem with the age difference if you don't. Just let's see where you're going. That's my thought for tonight from Delta
Thank
Cougar.
You, Delta. Thank you, Delta. Thank you, Icy Hot. And thank you, Scotty. And thank you, King B. And all of our callers.
Did we ever get a number come in of 297-1899?
297.
This lady kept calling me and she wanted to get in.
Was it a 228 number?
Yes.
Yes, but she didn't press
star 6-1. We didn't let her in. Oh my God.
Yes, yes, she has to press *61 and then I'll know she's ready to comment. So,
she wanted to call. Oh my God, I hear we missed her. She called and got the number. So we'll be ready for you next time.
We sure will. We'll be ready for it. And we'll be back. Now Sunday I will be traveling. So I'll have to see if we're able to broadcast a live show on Sunday. If not, we'll be back on Wednesday. And we need to have talk on women for Women's History Month. So we have to have let's think of a few women to highlight, and also we have to share our Women's United piece. So we will be back. Thank you. Peace. Good night. And namaste.
Okay.